Sometimes people say they want to obey God. Let me say this again. Unbelief can ruin the effect of your faith. So you must guard against unbelief. You must pray against unbelief. You must work against unbelief. And you must not unnecessarily expose yourself to unbelief. Before you do anything that is unnatural, let me tell you something. You must beef yourself up strong with the word of God that specifically addresses that which is unnatural. You'll see what I'm saying in a moment. If you just get up and say, the Lord sent me to go and preach in one small town somewhere around here. You have a wife, you have children, they are going to school. Do you understand? You were working somewhere before, you resigned the job. You say, where are you going? You say, I'm going into the jungle to go and preach. Not jungle, just a small town. Now, please, whoever is listening to this, may God grant the person wisdom to balance what I'm about to say so that people don't walk in disobedience and they are not rash in their attempt to obey God. Now, a lot of Christians, I've seen them, they make that mistake. The man wakes up one day and gets up, resigns everything and goes there. And then takes wife and children into that place. Now, I've seen this happen a lot of times, so I want to just address it so as to help people. And trouble starts. They get there, they don't have money, they say, we're believing God. Listen, if you are believing God, and you are really believing God, and that your faith is genuine, God will show up. So if, after some time, I can't see God showing up, it's one of two things. Either you are not believing God, you are walking in presumption, because some of the reasons why we disobey God, even though we think we heard his voice, is because fundamentally, the character of godliness and faith is not well formed in us. And what is pushing us is different from the true character of godliness. And that can only be formed by teaching proper instruction with the word of God. Let me explain what I'm going to say. Sometimes people just want to do things to please God. They have not yet realized that it is not necessary. That in Christianity, the first thing is faith. You must accept that Jesus has paid for your sins and is a premise upon which you are going to heaven. Are you getting my point? It is not the fact that you went to the jungle to preach. Unless you accept that one faith, you will go to the jungle preaching in ungodliness. You won't realize it. I don't know whether you caught what I said there. You will get up, you want to strive to work for God. Meanwhile, what is pushing? And you will be hearing voices, my son, go to the bush. But what is really pushing you is that you say, I must be powerful too in godliness. People like Bishop David Oyedepo, E. Adeboye, all those big men that we know, said they have built mansions in heaven. I must build a mansion in heaven too, because heaven is my home. You make such statements, it sounds nice and righteous, but it's actually totally imbalanced. It's not true. Look, Pastor E. Adeboye may have a heart in heaven as we are talking now. All the one you know is that the redeem is big. You don't know whether he's obeying God or disobeying God. There's no way you will know. There's no way you will know. I told you once, I met a man, an elderly man, who has been a Christian for a very long time. He told me, he mentioned the name of one big man in Nigeria. If I mention his name, you will jump. Man of God. He said the day the man started his church, one other more senior, more elderly man of God of those days said to them that this man has walked out of the plan of God for his life. Yet, see branches everywhere, locally and internationally. Shaking places. Yeah, this old man said, there was an old man then, that time, a real prophet of God. He said, this young man had just walked out of the plan of God for his life. So you don't know. You can't tell. Many people that you are seeing, that this man works hard. You know why he works hard? He's afraid to go home. His wife is Jezebel. You see him in the office. I'm telling you, I told that Yoruba man has a saying. They say, if you see a man running, you don't know why he's running. It can be because he's pursuing something, or because something is pursuing him. You just know, all you can say is he's running. And God says, I, the Lord, I check why you are running before I give you pass mark for running. So you can't tell. So sometimes you find a man, let me not lose track. So you find a man, he's working hard. But the premise upon this hard work for God is faulty. It's faulty. He has gone to the jungle to go and preach. Why? He thinks that if I could serve the devil those days, I should start serving God now. And God says, wait. If you serve the devil those days, the solution is we wash it with the blood of Jesus. That one has gone. Don't try and do anything for me now to prove to me that you have repented. I don't need it. Just come to me, accept forgiveness, and get out of here. Say, what should I be doing? What were you doing before? You were working in university. Go and continue working there. I told this one brother, let me not mention his name. He was a very popular musician in the world. This guy led a riotous life. We know. Finally, he said he gave his life to Christ. He began to preach. The day I heard him preach, I said, this guy is not called. You know a man who's not called. Don't worry. He said, how do you know? I don't know how I know. I just know. So I can't. He says right here, that face is the word of God. I said, come on, class now. Why are you doing all of these things? You think preachers are more spiritual? Why don't you go and join Kirk Franklin and teach Kirk Franklin how to dance? Jesus said, abide in the calling which the Lord called you. That what you were doing when they called you, continue doing it. You were singing and dancing. You've given your life to Christ. And continue singing and dancing. You think singing and dancing is unrighteous? Yeah, next time we see your video, we won't see any naked woman there. Abi? That's all. We see you dancing righteous dance. You know? There's nothing wrong with dancing. Many people have left legitimate things because they think that pastors are the ones serving God. Do you know why I'm here doing what I'm doing? Because if I don't do it, my head will explode. I was born to do this. Are you getting my point? I'm not doing this because I'm trying to get something from God. No, this was what I was born to do. And I know how to do it. I used to tell my wife that, listen, if I wasn't preaching, that is, if I'm not preaching, once I read the Bible, now war. Because revelation is always jumping out. Always jumping, just open one page like this. Boom, two things will come out. I said, sweet, I want to go and preach. I'll be looking for who to preach this thing to. I'm not trying to impress anybody. If you think you will not get to heaven, I say, all the pastors, please. There's no high table in heaven. No. This one we do on the earth. In some churches, they say that their ministers can't eat in public. It's total ungodliness. Are you getting my point? Forget that nonsense. Go for where they say ministers' food must be hidden behind. Why? What are you, spirit? They will be pretending as if they are spirits. You're not a spirit. We know you. They go to you. They use tissue paper. We know. What is this one you are doing like say you'll be spirit? I'm not saying you should be going anyhow, eating recklessly. You know, you should be a gluten. But you are amongst your brethren. Why can't you eat? You want to create an aura of, you know, as if we are, you know, what somebody called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. That's what somebody called it. That is, I've not seen proof. That's why I don't quote it. He said that is the doctrine of Nicolaitans. Make it look like you're special. You've been man of God. Listen, my friend, we are all men of God. Do you get my point? Once you are a man and you are of God, if you are a woman and you are of God, you are a woman of God. That we are all, forget this thing. Though. When we get to heaven, then they will kill everybody for the same line. He said, excuse me, please, angel, can I talk to you? I was a bishop. You know what the angel will say? Oh, yes, sorry, you're on this line. You should be on the line of stricter judgment. Yeah? Nobody's going to treat you special. Say, you know, I was a bishop. Lie. They take you one by one. Check, did you do what we told you to do? That is how heaven is. Nobody's going there. If you think you will go there and you see, hey, please, I'm looking for Pastor E. Adeboye. I'm looking for Bishop Okonkwo. I'm looking for, name men of God for me. Name men of God. Or I'm even looking for the Pope. Say, I'm looking for the last three popes. They will tell you, look back, the day behind. He said, ah, but he was a pope. He said, I told him not to become a reverend father. That is why he's at the back. And you are, what? What? He said, where's Pastor Banky? Pastor Banky, leave him. They'll give you a telescope. You go check for back. He said, but the man was preaching. He said, I know he was preaching. But do you know half of what we told him to say, he didn't say it. He was afraid because offering will go down. He said, Pastor Bank, yes, yeah, so the angels now. So we say, me too, I was disappointed. Not only. That won't be my portion in Jesus' name anyway. But no, you know, I needed to use my name so that you know that we're all Christians. Do you get my point? We're all Christians. No. We're all Christians. We're all Christians. So don't even look. I'm not saying you don't respect somebody. You understand what I'm saying? Of course. It's good you respect somebody like me so that my words will be a blessing to you. But that's as far as it goes. Do you get my point? You are serving God also. You are serving God also. You are serving God also. And you'll be judged not according to my works, but according to your own works. You'll be judged according to what God called you to do, not according to what I did. Me, I love every man of God. In fact, if you know me well, I respect men of God. Somebody like Bishop, if he walks in here now and he says, oh, it is well with you, I'm not kidding. I will strip. I know he doesn't need my wristwatch, but I will remove it and say, sir, you can't come in and leave like that. He can get downstairs and attach to his driver. I don't care. Because the man has been a tremendous blessing to me. All right? So, but having said that, I've read enough to know, say, man, when we reach God's side there, every man, nobody special, though. Do you understand? If Peter, after following Jesus Christ, did not do all that God asked him to do, they go kill the guy behind me. All those who called you the first pope, they will be so disappointed when they are in front of you. You go there. No, this is Christianity I'm telling you about. I know why I digress into that, all right? I'm talking about fighting against unbelief. So that man, maybe it is this lack of understanding of what I just explained is the reason why he decided to go to the bush or go to a small town, resigned, and he's waiting for God to show up. And God doesn't show up. And God says, so you better go and learn the truth. Maybe if he learns the truth, he will now know that, wait, what I'm doing is unnecessary. Or it may be that it is the thing that he's supposed to do. It is possible. Why I went into that story, I want to talk about unbelief, to be careful. For a man to take such a step, he has to be very, no, when I say very sure now, it's not have a persuasion, I just have a suspicion in my spirit. No. You must be absolutely certain, because the natural order of things is that when a man has 4 children, he was working regularly somewhere, his wife was doing business somewhere, they go to a new town where they have no income, nothing to start preaching, the natural order of things that they will all go hungry. It is not ungodliness. It is natural. Before you expect things not to work according to what is natural, please. I like what the Bishop Oedipo said once. Such a blessing to me. He said he wanted to be a businessman and sponsor the gospel. He loved the Lord. Then one day, I don't know how he heard it, but he heard a call of God that God said he should go into what you and I call full-time ministry. And then he went and prayed and said, God, now that you said I shouldn't do what I wanted to do, where will my food come from? He prayed until he understood how his food should come. And the Lord said to him expressly, I will cause those who you will bless to return material things to you. He said, is that all? The Lord said, good, fine. So he said, now, any that people listen to me, they must be tremendously blessed. So he focused on that. Are you getting my point? Listen, you have to be careful. I'm watching my time. Because the Bible said that Abraham contemplated his body. All right, if you read the King James, it did not. What it means is that he said, but yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. You must take all these challenges and specifically deal with them with the promise of God and prayer so that you, when it comes, you know what you are going to answer. Otherwise, if you didn't have that, if that man asked my counsel, the hypothetical man I was telling you about, I would have told him that, listen, wait, okay? It's not to go and preach. First, start preaching weekends. Do you get my point? Yes, leave your wife and children in town here. Go there and be preaching weekends. Friday evening, you've gone. You preach on Sunday evening, and you come back. Why do you want to carry the growing children to that particular place at this particular point in time? That is the natural, sensible thing to do. Before you do the opposite, you must have clear-cut instructions from above. Until you get that, no, you don't. Because you won't say, listen, if you get worried and concerned and begin to fear because of your unbelief, you will sink. Because the fact that God said, come, is no guarantee that you will not sink. That's my emphasis. Jesus said to Peter physically, come. Peter came. The Lord was looking at him. But the moment he began to look at the hunger on the right, the children sleeping without food, he began to sink. He began to sink. So the question is, why go through that? Unless you have a very good word that says, come. And then you learn to focus on that word. That's the point I'm making. What should such a man do? He just said, okay, I'm going to preach. You people stay behind here. I'm going. If he's not working out, when he gets there, he will know. I've seen people before, they said that the man is doing ministry, ministry is not working. He said it is because his wife is working. That's why the ministry is not moving. So that the wife, we should join the ministry too. So the wife joined, hunger only intensified. Things just got worse. Because you cannot use this human wisdom to... Do you get my point? No, you just, that was just human wisdom. Listen, what was that woman going to do for you that she's not doing currently? You live in the same house. She said, the problem, why anointing is not flowing? You know, sometimes we Christians think that when I talk about human wisdom, I'm talking about human wisdom in their own religion, the harsh dealing of the same one that says, fast until your stomach perforates before anointing comes. You know, I've told you it's not necessary. You know, I won't lie to you. Look, listen. If you don't do... Oh, Lord. Thank you for your anointing. I have to explain this thing. It is not this your human effort at righteousness that's bringing forth divine anointing. The primary reason why anointing is coming upon your head is, one, you were called to do that thing. That's the primary reason. The second reason is that you are doing it. Do you get my point? It's like practice. Englishman says, practice makes perfect. That a man who practices is the one that becomes perfect. And the same thing, the man who is faithful in using his unction is the one that God pours more unction upon. The focus in increasing your anointing. If you want to increase your anointing, take the one you have now and use it. Do you get my point? Don't go and pray in one corner. Take the one you have now and use it. Make sure it's blessing people. Don't sit at home and say, hey, when the anointing to heal comes, we're going to do a citywide crusade. When we do that crusade, we are going to convert the whole of Enugu. You are still... So you say, what are you doing? I'm waiting for the anointing. Listen, you know, the Holy Spirit has already come. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There is the one, they say, tarry in Jerusalem before the Holy Spirit came. Ever since the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit is hanging around, looking for who is ready. Do you get my point? Instead of waiting for when the big anointing to heal, to raise the dead will show up, what do you have right now? Say, I have anointing to preach. Look somewhere, corner some two people that can't run away, and preach to them. If you bless them, they'll bring a third person. Be blessing those ones. They announce to them, say, if you are sick, bring the sick. Come. Then lay hands on the sick. It is while you are laying hands on the sick, you know the anointing to heal the sick has come. Not where you are praying. Do you get the point I'm making?
Yes,
do you get the point I am making?
Yes,
listen, that is how it is. You know, Christians like to punish themselves. And they know they now feel anointed. You say that, look, I came to this pulpit today after a 15-day fast. If you talk like that, I say, look, you won't talk normally because you are hungry. I'm just going to get my Bible and begin to wait. When you begin misjive, I escape because... Once your fast is what you think gives you the authority to talk, it's confusion. It's confusion. If you fast, why are you telling us? Let us discover it from your unction. If I'm somewhere you want to pray, say, today is going to be hot. I say, how do you know? Because I have been fasting for 15 days. If you tell me like that, I tell my wife, don't worry. Today is going to be cold. This guy, forget him. He has come with a wrong premise. Are you getting my point? Your hunger has not in any way improved your anointing. If you tell me today is going to be hot, and I say, how do you know? You say, Because last week, I was in Makurdi. For 4 days, I preached this message. And the people were transformed. As soon as we're done, we went to Abakiliki. And I preached for 3 days there. And my God, their lives were not the same. Listen, I have tested this thing. Uh-huh. Then I will sit down. Say, bros, carry on. I tell my wife, this is going to be hot. Better get ready. Because this man has been using this thing. And God is going to refill him, I know. That's what I know. Listen, that is what I understand, though. I keep on telling people, Moses, how did he get his anointing? It was by quarreling. They said, go. I said, I know they go. I said, go. I got to do they go. God said, wait, I'm going to just humble you. God gave him the staff by force. You know that? Well, God, reason, because God saw the passion of his heart of those days. This was what he was called to do. God had prepared him to be a vessel that could carry it. When the time came, he gave it to him, even though the man was reluctant. He didn't beg for it. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. I'm trying to see because I thank God for his word. Somebody say amen. It happens a lot like that. You know, you want to say something, then other things start coming out of your mouth, and you know you are blessing somebody. So you don't want to stop it. One day I finished preaching, all my messages went one way. And I was telling my wife, so just one person that could hear the whole of today's message, even though I didn't plan it like that. You know what she said? And that heaven rejoices if one person is saved. And that, you know, and that the shepherd will leave 99 and go after one. So if you are the one that has carried us again today, God bless you in Jesus' name. God bless you very much. We'll still continue fighting unbelief next time. All right? The Lord is good. So anyway, why did I go into all of this? Okay? Just want to explain that, listen, we don't use our human effort at trying to do something for God to not expose ourselves unnecessarily to unbelief. You understand? Because fear, now back to what I've been trying to discuss since last time, fear has torment. You must tackle your fears. You must not allow fear rise up, because when it rises up, it kills your faith. That's what I'm going to explain. And when the natural order of things in life are going to produce fear in you, then you must have a specific word from above with which you are tackling it. And I'll talk about it, how to tackle it. But I'm looking at my time. But let's just start it, okay? Just give me like 5 minutes and then I will leave the matter. Okay, I went into all of that and trying to review what we have been saying. The fact that Peter feared and began to sink, and our unbelief can be very, very powerful. But let me just repeat this. I need to repeat this so that I'll connect it, and then let me say it to go. I said something at the beginning. Let me just repeat what I said at the beginning. Now, one of the ways to ensure that you are not exposed unnecessarily to unbelief is to make sure that you are able to sustain what you want to do as a habit. You know, that's where I began from. That if you want to give a gigantic offering, and you are not converted to that level, you will not get anything out of it. It must be something that you have been converted. Even if you say, okay, it's only once a year I do it, then you know next year I can do it. The following year I can do it. If it's a monthly thing, it's something I can do every month. It's very important. Because once something has become a habit with you, then the fear will not grip your heart. Do you get my point? When you begin to do it. Let me emphasize again, I am not saying remain small. Using this money as an example, I'm not saying remain small. You can get to a level, like one of the things I say is that if you understand the scriptures very well, you will know that this issue of I give God my 10%, it's a joke. Because if you really want to, read my book, How to Work for God, all right? I describe it in there, that if you really want to give as working for God, there are so many areas you have to give to. And you have to do them consistently. You help the poor, it's working for God. That's what the Bible calls the widows of your household. I described that one there. Who are the widows of your household? These are people, not necessarily physical widows, but people who are naturally connected to you, either because of physical birth, they are your brothers, your cousins, you know, people like that, or people you have a close relationship with, a group of friends you grew up together, maybe in primary school, in secondary school, and God has blessed you to a level now that you can handle things. Your bosom friend, you know, is not lazy, because the Bible does not encourage laziness. You know, he's not lazy, he's working hard, things are rough for him. His children are going back to school next term, and there are three of them. The school fees, all right, the school fees is heavy. So, what do? You just watch him. No, you can stylishly tell him you are lending him money even though you don't plan to collect it back, all right? And such monies Try your best not to collect it back, even if it breaks through tomorrow. Just forget it. The idea is that this is my bosom friend. He's in need at this particular point in time, and I have excess. So I give to him. You get my point? And then that's what I mean by widows of your household, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, you know, close friends that who are in need. That's what the Bible calls the widow of your household. I can't teach it in details now. I explained in that my book, Grace to Prosper, and it's also, How to Work for God, and it's also in the book, Grace to Prosper. I explained those things inside there. So you see other things like you have, like I keep on saying, Aliko Dangote may be the richest black man, all right, but he's not going to be the one to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because we are not aware that he has made a personal commitment to it. So we are not going to look for people like that to give money to the gospel. It is you and I that will still give money to the gospel. You do that also. Do you understand? There are things like that. And don't ever forget, your parents, you must honor your father and your mother. That is just the scripture. You have to. Say, what if they have more money than me? It doesn't matter. Your father must smile one day because you came home. You understand? We've got many things to say. Your presence must be nice. When you are coming, you should bring an aroma that's sweet. I don't mean the expensive perfume. I mean that when you are coming, people should know that something good is coming. You don't have money. Don't you have pineapples? Okay, I'm only in the bush. They have yam there. When you are coming home, bring it. Don't say, my father knows I'm just a copper. That's very irresponsible on your part. They are paying you small alawi. That alawi, cut small. Cut small when you are coming home. All right? What is the thing? Maybe you are coming from near the river. There's fish. All right? Go there. Get, dried fish. Roasted, dried fish. Get it in good quantity. When you come home, let your father see that you brought something. Let your mother, it's not as if you're just a dependent population in your head forever. You finish school, they gave you alawi for 1 year. How can you return empty-handed? Wait a minute. Yeah, these are things the Christians don't know. Sometimes, poverty is not an excuse for not giving at all. Most people, they don't know how to plan. That's the issue. Yeah. You are going home after 1 year of youth service. Say, because your father has money. Who's talking about whether he has money or is poor? Poverty is not the reason why we give to parents. Honor is the primary reason. The Bible says a son honors his father. All right? Now, that's another one. So these are the things we do with money. We sponsor the gospel. Very, very important. We help those who are in need. I broke those things down inside that book. Please go and check it out. Now, when you do all of those things, you will find if you do them regularly, I keep on saying it has to be a habit, you will find out that it is nothing out of order to give away half of your income. In fact, half will go to these things I'm talking about. The reason why a lot of people can't give is because they have budgeted. You know, women are very good with that. Go and buy Mary Kay on credit. Never use pancake that you have not paid for. No, there are things you don't be buying on credit, you know. What the correct word for it? We used to call it pancake. What is that thing? Foundation. And the makeup you haven't paid. There are things you don't buy on credit. You'll be buying makeup on credit. Okay, what will you buy? What will you buy with cash? What? If makeup is credit, then you get a problem. And God said, I should come and solve your problem for you. It is solved in Jesus' name. Say amen. Say amen on their behalf. I know you guys are not buying. That's the problem with a lot of people. All right? And if you're a man, you are doing that, you need double deliverance. See me after service. your own deliverance is special. You wear this for yourself, paying small, small. After Abba, man. For women, we will understand. Let's just try. Let's understand. But man, any shirt you can't afford, don't buy it. When you enter Ogbete, there are different sections. There are different sections. There's a section of 500 naira shirt that has never been used. There's a section, if you want an expensive shirt that is 500 naira, just let a man wear it like a few times and sell it. Who will know the difference? You know, any shirt you wear 5 times already used, that also. So just go there. But please, these material things must not put you in distress. You don't have money, buy 2 shirts, white. Everybody will think that you like white. They won't know that. Those days, my wife said, how come you wear only white? I said, white. I love white. You know the only way I like white? Nobody knows it's the white you wore yesterday. Because it's white. Because literally, I'm not exaggerating. Many of my suits, they don't come out of the wardrobe for 3 straight months. So I can wear any color now, anything. But if you don't have that kind of money, you buy only black. If you don't buy black, you're a sinner. It has to be black. Yes, black. I'm telling you the trick so you can give. The reason why the Bible says you should work is so that you can help people. Paul said, let who that's doing nothing look, make sure he does something with his hands so he can give to those who are in need. A lot of people, we work, we have money, but we think it's small. Why is it small? We have budgeted everything for ourselves. You buy suit that's twice your monthly income. You are a madman. Iniquity. We should use taser for you, electricity, shock sense. If you can't buy suit, buy waistcoat. No, brethren, these are the things I did though. White shirt, waistcoat, and I preached and people were blessed. Actually, a man, your suit is twice. Why? You want to show off to somebody. May a thief stop you, beat you before collecting it. Because some of these suits are expensive, I know. I want to buy a decent Italian suit, it's 60,000 naira. And that's not an expensive one, it's decent. If it's an Armani starts from $1,000 and above. A decent Italian suit. So why should you wear it? When there are Chinese suit, Hong Kong suit, Abba suit, Enugu suit, Onitsha suit. Why are you bothering yourself? And what I like is just look for brother. Oh God, I like suits. You know, suit, no matter how, if it's a good quality one, even they've worn a number of times, it's still looking like, just look for one bro will be your size. So, oh boy, you don't wear this suit, it's last day. How far? You never listen to say, Pastor Bank, say he was glean. Principal, you don't wear your portion, give me the rest. It's true. You know why I'm saying all of this? These are the ways by which you can have to give. Do you get my point? Yes, you have. Look, this matter is a matter of faith. There's no reason why you should spend all your money on yourself. Unless you're totally poor. That is, all that money can only buy food. Even that food self, you must share with somebody. Life couldn't just be revolving around you like that. It's not right. Somebody should eat your thing. If you're okay, say, the only credit I take, okay, buy two portions on credit. Give half portion out and be paying both of them. Servicing both debts. I'm very serious about it. The reason why a lot of people can't give is that they have budgeted themselves in such a manner that they have nothing left over. They've bought clothes on credit, bought jewelry on credit, you understand? So even some people, they buy cars they can't afford. You don't have to own a car. If your car is not yielding you money, you don't have to own it. If you can't afford it. This is Nigeria, this is not America. Here, whether you have car or not, there are so many means of transportation. You say, you know, some people, they say, yeah, you know, we are building, so they can't give money again. You are buying a car, you can't give money again. Yeah, it's sinner. This is how sinners behave. People that God bless, they don't behave like that. I hope you're getting my point. If your brothers are supposed to go to school, go and pay fees, legitimate fees, they want to write projects, and you can't give them money because you want to buy a car. I warned you ahead, though, on what will happen to that car. You know, I warned you now. I won't say more than that. Because that car, if that boy doesn't graduate, that car will not travel. And it's not the devil. I've told you, the devil can't afflict you, a child of God. Say amen. It is God himself that sent an angel. Said, that my son, teach him small lessons. So angel will say, yes, sir. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I obey your word. That's what we're discussing. Let's make the doing of good a habit. Are you getting my point? Let's make walking by faith a habit. And God will bless you abundantly. Amen. Rise to your feet quickly. You're already blessed anyway. You're already blessed. You're already blessed. You're already blessed. Declare, say in the name of Jesus, I am already blessed. Say like you believe it. Say in the name of Jesus, I am already blessed. The blessing of God is upon me. I walk by faith. I walk by the faith of Jesus Christ. I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer. Say, this is the victory I have over the world. It's my faith. I trust in the word of God. I am not guided by the things of this world. I am not guided by the standards of this age. I am moved by the word of God alone. Say it, I am an overcomer. I do not walk according to fear. I walk because I'm an overcomer. Say, in Christ Jesus, I have overcome sickness. In Christ Jesus, I have overcome death. in Christ Jesus, I have overcome poverty. Say, in Christ Jesus, I have overcome sin. Now listen to this. Say, in Christ Jesus, I have overcome selfishness. I don't live for myself alone. My life is a gift. A gift to the people around me. A gift to the body of Christ. A gift to this world. I am a gift to this generation. Therefore, I'm being poured out for this generation. I don't live for myself alone. But because of my faith in Christ Jesus, I live to be of service to people. I live to bring forth the love of God to people. And for that reason, I know I have overcome. Because my natural self died at the cross. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Therefore, sickness has left me. Therefore, failure has left me. Therefore, I have been delivered from premature death. Therefore, I have been delivered from every curse. Because the natural man that was cursed, he died at the cross of Christ. Oh, say that again. Say, my natural man died at the cross of Christ. Therefore, there's no curse in my life. There is just the blessing of Abraham. There is just the blessing of Abraham. Declare it loud. Say, I have been blessed with every kind of blessing. Every kind of blessing. I have been blessed with it. My blessing is not determined by surrounding circumstances. So wherever I am, I will prosper. In Nigeria, I will prosper. If I'm in Ghana, I will prosper. If I'm in Malawi, I will prosper. If I'm in South Africa, I will prosper. If I'm in the United States, I will prosper. If I'm in Australia, I will prosper. Wherever I am, even if it's a desert, it will blossom for my sake. Because the blessing of God is upon me. Let's declare this again. Say, I didn't work for that blessing. Jesus died to buy it for me. By faith, I receive it. It's not by my own works of righteousness. It is just by my faith in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I do not doubt. I do not walk in fear. I am not afraid that I have not done something to get this thing. I know that Jesus did something for me. So every blessing of God is my own. Say, prosperity is my own. Not because I give, but because Jesus died. Oh, let's say it again. Say, I know prosperity is my own. Not because of my own works, but because Jesus died. When I pray, I pray only in the name of Jesus. I don't pray in the power of my good works. I don't say to God, see what I have done. I just pray in the name of Jesus. When I say the name of Jesus, I am saying Jesus paid. When I say the name of Jesus, I'm saying God promised. When I say in the name of Jesus, I'm saying all the promises are now mine in the new covenant. And on that basis, I receive everything that I need. Now, let's say this just for a few minutes and we're out of here. Say, whatever I do, I do by faith. If I give, it is because I have faith. If I walk in righteousness, it is because my faith says I am righteous. So I walk according to the righteousness of God. When I give, it's because I know I have prospered. It is because I know I am a giver. Now listen to this. Say, I'm not a giver because I give. But I give because I'm a giver. I have been converted to being a giver. Faith makes me a giver. Because I'm not afraid of tomorrow. Therefore, my tomorrow is bright. It is held by faith. It is held by faith. And there is no unbelief in it. Father, I give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Quickly, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Quickly bless somebody on your left. This is your season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Bless another person. All right, cheer up, brethren.